Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, it's Shelly and Chuck on the Shelly and Chuck Show, and I'll have a special guest on my show in a minute. And here I have two cats, one named Jackie Chanrant, one named Rock Balboa, which is the kitten. And you guys don't see this, but I swear I'm going to have to super glue a dish to the floor because I got a heavy dish, and he knocks it over. I swear this kitten thinks he's pot ferret, and I'm like, what are you doing? He's just driving me crazy. Yeah, you guys don't see it. So I've been trying to wrestle with him before the show to try to turn, like, you know, make him tired. But he just, like, keeps going and going and going. I swear he's got gnaws up his butt. And he's like a Fast and Furious film. And he's just this little thing. It's just like, he's so adorable. But when you got something jumping up on your leg. Well, anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit before I bring my guest on the show. I was seeing tonight, it's a rescue. It's called the Justice Rescue, and I guess it's in Pennsylvania, Woodland, Pennsylvania. And it says, we are a Pennsylvania nonprofit, tax-exempt, it's 501c3, animal welfare organization who fights for those who cannot fight for themselves. And this is what the company overview says on the Justice Rescue page. It's not about the toes we step on. It's about the paws we protect. Simply stated, we rescue animals directly from the hands of the abusers. Justice Rescue is a team dedicated not only to focusing education and awareness on such animal abuse, but also to taking concrete steps to resolve specific cases of animal cruelty. We are confident that with a collective group effort, we can develop a team of associated rescues to achieve a successful outcome for animals worldwide. We fight for those who cannot fight for themselves. I just have to scroll the page down here. Okay, and now it's stuck. It won't let me go down. Let me refresh that page. Yes, once in a while I have a little bit of technical difficulties on here in the Facebook page. But I'm trying to read from there, from the Facebook page. But if you want to check it out in donations, you can go there and check it out. I don't know why that Facebook crashed on the Justice Rescue page. Sometimes my computer's kind of crazy. So if you want to check it out, it's a really worthy cause. I'm trying to bring up my guests. I guess I can actually open up a new page. And I'm actually going to open up my page here because I reposted one of a fellow artist, an actor himself, and my page does not want to open up on Facebook. Oh, good timing. Really good timing. But even though I can't pull it up on the Facebook page, the studio's working, but a fellow artist, which I just recently found out, and I don't know why, for some reason, I usually try to keep track of things as best as I can. I've been so many people on my Facebook page, and, you know, I'm connected with the indie film community, not just like out in Hollywood, but I just recently saw this story on Mark Resnick, and I've been Facebook friends with him, but you know how your Facebook page goes, and I post a lot too, so, you know, everybody that posts, I don't know why I didn't catch this story. Mark had gone through so much, and it's just so much, and I'm going to let him tell in his own words, because for some reason, it's actually, I don't know why my Facebook page has not come up to talk about the link, because I'm opening up the page right now, and I'm trying to get down because I reposted it on my page, and I was trying to see if I can get open here to talk about donations, because asking about this one, which goes towards a fellow artist and his family, and it talks about the campaign, the donations, this donation does not go towards a film. And for some reason, once again, on Facebook on here, I'm not so sure why it's not allowing me to bring up the description of the campaign. It just says pages unresponsive. At least my studio's running, and it says the following pages have become unresponsive. You can wait for them to become responsive or kill them. Okay, that's what it's saying about my Facebook page. I'm like, what is going on here? And it will not let me open up the link on my Facebook page. Well, at least I still got my studio going on, so that's pretty good. So let me see if it will allow me now. Maybe if I refresh my Facebook page. Okay, I'm going to try to refresh my Facebook page because I really wanted to read about the campaign a little bit before I brought my guest on. So I'm hoping that this is not going to crash because every once in a while, live on the air, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, I have technical difficulties with this Block Talk Radio. But now, tonight, it's a little different. I'm having trouble with my Facebook page, and it keeps asking me to kill my page. Great. Let me see if there's another way I can actually bring this up. I'm actually going to Google Mark because for some reason my Facebook page is not coming up. So next thing to do, what we all do, we all Google. You know, okay, let me find Mark here, bring up Google, and see if I can Google Mark that way. I don't know why my Facebook page is not working right now. Mark Resnick. Let's see, campaign. Let me see what I can Google underneath here. Let's see, campaign. For some reason, once again, my Facebook page is not working. Really? No, really. I don't know why my Facebook page is not working, so I'm able to try to read the campaign. It's not allowing me to read it off Facebook. Perfect, perfect timing, Facebook. Thank you so much, Facebook, for crashing on me when I need to read about the campaign. Thank you so much, Facebook. I just so appreciate this live on the air. Okay, let's see if I'm gonna try to Google it. It won't even let me see you pull it up at all on my Facebook page right now. Lucky I am in my 40s now, because I think if I was in my 20s, this computer would have been off the window. So I'm going to once again, try to bring up another page. The studio is running fine. So I'm trying to Google Mark right now. This is just not happening live on the air right now. Let's see. I'm trying to bring up the campaign on Google here. I don't know why Facebook has just crashed, ladies and gentlemen. I do apologize, because I wanted to read about a little bit about Mark Resnick. Perfect time in Facebook. Thank you for crashing on me. Let's see if I can bring it up here. I don't know why my Facebook page just froze. Of all times, it just froze. Let me see. Okay, maybe I can just bring it up Google and bring up Mark's page. Let's see. For some reason, it's still not allowing me to bring up Facebook. I don't know why. And I don't want to clear the cache or anything, because I'm live on the air, and I don't want to take the chance in killing my studio. So let me see. Okay, why is this not working? It's just not working. Let me kill those. So what I'm going to try to do is open up another window. Here, see if this Facebook page works now. Okay. Once again, I'm going to try to open up my Facebook page. I'm not so sure why it will not allow me. Well, let's see. I have Google Chrome open, so I wonder if I can actually Mozilla Firefox. What I'm going to do is try to open that up with my Facebook page and see if that works. Okay. This is just, can't figure out what is going on here. It just seems like my whole entire Facebook crashed. That's kind of screwy, don't you think? Okay, let's see. I'm going to try it once again, try to open up another window on Facebook here. Okay, let's open it up one more time. I'm opening up another window for Facebook here. See if I can bring up the campaign. And for some reason, Facebook is not opening up. It's not opening up at all. Let's see. You know, because usually what happens is, even though I don't have my chat open up on Facebook, usually that all opens up. So let's see if I can open up. Mozilla. Some reason, then that won't open up. Really strange how right now nothing is allowing me to open anything up. As far as I know, I'm still live on the air, so I'm going to try open up another one, which is, okay, let's try opening this up now. Okay, Facebook, don't fail me now. Okay, let's see. All right, I'm going to try once again to actually try to bring Facebook up again and see if it'll come up. It just will not allow me to open up the campaign on my Facebook page. I swear my Facebook was working perfectly fine right until the start of the show. No, I'm not kidding. It was working perfectly fine. So let's see if I can figure out a trick to how to open this up. All right. Now, that's open there. Let's try to open this up. Just really, really running slow. I don't know what's wrong with this. Okay, let me try open it up. And what I'm doing, ladies and gentlemen, you guys can't see it. It is radio. I'm trying to open up another window in the system here because on my page where I shared about Mark Resnick's campaign for him and his family to read about it, it's actually not popping up. No, it's not. It's my Facebook page is not popping up. So let me see if I can get open up another window, open up another person's page, which is allowing me to do that. I'm going to try to go directly to Mark's page. Let me see if I can do that by going to someone else's page and then trying to get on. Really strange. Really strange that this is not opening up and not working right now. Okay. Let's see what's going on right here. All right. Let me see if I can fix it. See, it popped up again. It says pages unresponsive. The following pages become unresponsive. You can wait for them or you can kill them. And that's really, really strange. Really strange that that comes up, that I have something saying that it wants me to kill my Facebook pages. It's something that keeps popping up. I don't know what it is. So Mark should be calling in a little while, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to let Mark talk about his campaign. So I'm going to play a song. Let me see what song. It's Back for Y'all by Sacrifice, and I'll be right back. And I don't think it's even playing. Maybe it's just totally stuck. So it's not even allowing me to play the song. Okay, let's see. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have to open up another window, try to sign back on. And I bet my guest is trying to call in right now. So I'm going to open up the studio. And looks like there is a little bit of a difficulty of a situation right here, live on the air. So what I'm going to do is try to open up another window. This is really strange. It's not allowing me to open up window. Okay. So I am trying to open up Blog Talk Radio right now. Let's see. I'm trying to open it up in another window. And the whole system, I'm hoping people can hear me. I'm trying to open up. If people are calling in, do apologize. I think I'm still connected here, but I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to open up another window. And I think the Blog Talk Radio has crashed, but it does seem like I am still connected somehow. It's just that the studio is frozen. So what I'm trying to do is open up another window. Okay, let me see if I can get another studio window open. Okay. Don't know what's going on right now. It's just that the Blog Talk Radio has, it's frozen. So I am going to get this up. What I'm going to do, hopefully I will not be disconnected. I'm going to try very hard to still stay on here. And it does seem like I'm going to have to reopen up the whole entire thing here on the studio. For some reason, I don't know what's going on. So I have to reopen the window, and it's quite possible that my guest could be in the queue, which is that it's not popping up. So let me try this again. I'm going to reopen Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to reopen the studio. And if, Mark, you are listening to me and you can hear me, I do thank you for your patience. And I'm trying to get back into the studio because the whole system for some reason just crashed. I do not know what's going on. I can't get back to the studio to send help for tech support. So what I'm doing is going back. I'm getting back to my dashboard on here. All right, give me one moment. Okay, I'm on the dashboard on Blog Talk Radio. That looks like it's working. I'm getting back to the studio. Let me see if it's going to allow me to open up the studio again. I hope I'm still connected. So I'm reopening the chat. Okay, it does look like the chat is reopening up. Everything's coming up. I see my telephone number in the queue, and I do think there is someone in the queue. Give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, the chat is open. My number's there. So I think another number did come up. It's quite possible this could be the man of the hour or the man of the next hour and a half. Give me one moment. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Shelley.
Hi, is this Mark?
This is Mark.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm sorry for keeping you waiting so long, but there was some technical difficulties. The whole system crashed. And I was sitting there going, no, this is not happening now. And I really wanted to read a little bit about your campaign and everything, and it just was like it would not allow me to open up. So I apologize. I'm so sorry that you had to wait so long. Were you waiting that long?
No, about 10 minutes. No worries. Please.
Okay.
Nothing you need to apologize for. Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, it's an honor. I'm a fellow artist. I know we've been on Facebook for quite some time. It's just that I try so hard to keep track of what people are doing. There's just so much on Facebook, and I'm like, in the independent film and such, I'm a big supporter. And the thing that I had seen, I was going to read about this campaign, and I want you to tell people what has been going on with your life, if you want to talk about that first. Anything you don't want to talk about, you don't feel comfortable, we can just move on. And so it's just like my show is just very laid back. So if I do bring something up, just say, I don't have any comment, and we can move on from there, okay?
Sure. Well, let me just speak very briefly towards the situation. And again, I appreciate you having me on and wanting to talk about that. I'd love to just sort of, in a nutshell, tell you what's going on and then move forward and talk about work and creative work and good, positive things like that. Basically, we found ourselves in a situation this year where we were living in a house owned by a landlord that turns out to be not a very, very nice man. He essentially wasn't taking care of the home as he should have. The house became quite uninhabitable in the winter months, and that caused me to withhold rent and not being able to afford an attorney. He was effectively able to have us evicted from the home, which, as it turns out, is a good thing because, again, it was not a good circumstance. The problem moving forward from there was he has not allowed us to get back into the house to reclaim all of our possessions, everything we own on the face of this earth. And it's been over 4 months. And we've been in court, and we've been battling, and, I recognize some people sort of lose everything, from a natural disaster, be it a hurricane or a fire or something like that, but this is something that's just at the hands of just not a nice man. So, that said, that came on the heels of just a couple of other rough things that we've had going on in the family over the past several years, and a friend of ours from New York took it upon herself to suggest, you guys have been through a lot, you need help, let me set up a crowdfunding campaign to get you guys over the hump, which she did, and the response has just been resounding and overwhelming, especially coming out of the independent quote-unquote Hollywood East community. I mean, you guys, man, these are not wealthy people, and people that are kicking in $5 or $10, it just means so, so much to me and my family. And just, I can't really express enough gratitude. and to you as well, Shelley, for having me on.
Thank you. I mean, it's, I don't want to go into too much detail, but when I was seeing everything, I was just like, oh my gosh. But, you know, when something people going through, I know you say, like, with the tornado and stuff, it's still, like, you know, that's your life, and that stuff is important to you, and it may not matter to a lot of other people, but, you know, that's part of your memories and such. And I think that the positive thing is you're keeping your head on your shoulders, and I know maybe you're not a ninja or a samurai or anything like that, or martial artist or anything, but I really think you're a fighter. I really can see that because, you know, you're sitting here and talking, you're very calm, you're very laid back, you know, like a sensei. And that's like, that shows wisdom right there, and you have your head on your shoulders with you, with everything that you've gone through. And it just sounds like you're very an amazing man, and the thing is that you're a fighter. You have not given up your dreams. And with what you're doing, you know, I've seen some people that I think I know that you're working with, Becky, or I've worked with her. And before we go on to the film stuff, is can you say where the campaign is, if anybody like to help out? Because once again, I wanted to read a little bit about the campaign, Everything Frozen. And is there where people can make donations, is they can help out? Is it PayPal or?
Yeah, there is. The crowdfunding campaign is based on what I call Go Get Funded. And you know, if people just want to go to my Facebook page, Mark Resnick, R-E-S-N-I-K, or I'm sure, I know you've posted it as well, Shelley, on your Facebook page. I think that's probably the easiest way to direct them.
Okay.
Do that. Well, and just, let me just speak toward your ninja comment, which is very funny. No, I am not a ninja, Shelley. Far from it. However, I have turned very, very spiritual over the past maybe 6 or 7 years when we've had struggles. Not a very religious man, but I've become very faithful and spiritual, and I've kept my faith. And that has really, I mean, I hate to sound like a preacher, because I'm not, but just in all sincerity, that has kept me sort of positive. Look, I mean, we all have to move on. We're all dealt hands in life, and we need to move on. And frankly, through it all, I've got a lot of blessings to count, and there's always somebody else that has struggles that are more difficult than your own. And, you know, let's face it, nobody wants to become a poster child, you know, in any sense. But when you're going through these things, you know, you're very subjectively sort of involved. And as I sort of wrote out what and articulated what we've been through over the past about 10 years, including the loss of our oldest son, 24 years old, passionate actor, writer, aspiring filmmaker, you know, just reading through it, it's like, seriously, this is really what we've been through. You know, it's hard to believe. But getting back to Zach, who passed in January 2013, it's because of him. I picked up his torch, and it sort of gave me something to move forward with after the tragedy of his loss. You know, it's been a blessing. The people in the community that I've met, that I collaborate with, it's just a tremendous positive thing in my life now.
Mark, I'm really sorry for your loss. I'm just like, you know, it wasn't just that, you know, one thing. It was like so many things when I saw that. It was like a page itself, and I feel very overwhelmed just reading it, and I can't even picture being in your shoes. It's just like you just read everything, and then it's like then the loss of your son, I feel, it broke my heart. And I was just like, you know, and I was like, I wish there was something so much so I could do. You know, if there's ever anything, you know, just holler at me. You know how to find me, you know, anything about the campaign or anything, any of your productions or anything, just get a hold of me and I can give you a shout-out if you ever want to be on my show in the future. You know, I can
Absolutely.
Always have you on, so no problem whatsoever, okay?
Well, thank you for your compassion. I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. And what have you been, you know, what have you been involved with for production? Is it theater or film or?
I haven't done any theater since I was a wee young man. I started actually when Zach was still with us. I was looking for work for him. He had been living in a chronic pain condition for the last several years of his life. And he was disabled, but he had the ability to go out and work. So me being the father of a 23-year-old guy was like, you got to go find work, man. You can't just sit around the house and watch, you know, Netflix. And I was actually on Craigslist, and I was looking for work for him, and I found a call for a student film looking for a 40 to 50-year-old guy. And I said, you know what? What the heck? So I put myself up for it. I got the role. I sort of wanted to show Zach that if there's something that you are passionate about in life, find something, just do it. You don't need a degree. You don't need a license. Find people with similar passions and go find something to do. So I did that film, and I just had a great experience and was really bitten by that bug again. There was still, like, I had studied acting when I was young, so there was still an ember yet burning a little bit inside, and that really fanned it. And I did a couple more projects, and then, like I said, when Zach passed away, I just committed myself to, you know what, I'm all in. I got to do this now to the best of my capacity, and I've been very fortunate to be able to get involved with many of the higher profile films coming out of this community. So, for instance, you mentioned Becky. Right now, with Becky Buckman, we are doing a film adaptation of a novel. It was an award-winning novel called Spin the Plate. The author is Donna Anastasi, and the film is being produced by her husband, Tom. And this is a story about a woman that she grows up into early adulthood, and she's battling a lot of demons of having been sexually abused and molested by her dad when she was a young girl. And I play that dad, and clearly the most challenging role that I've had to date. Something that I kind of, everything I do, I really care a whole lot about being truthful and believable. And, you know, you sort of need to bring a little bit of yourself into every role that you do. Well, that's really a challenge, you know, with such a prospect. Very easy to just kind of play the creepy, sleazy, you know, child molesting dad, but no, I really didn't want to do that. I really wanted to portray a caring, loving, nurturing father who's frankly sick. You know, he's got a screw loose, and that'll be wrapping up sometime next month, and that's been a great experience working with some great people on that.
Well, no. Now I know you said that you did theater. Like, what? When you were, like, growing up, did you ever think of getting to acting when you're getting old? I mean, what were your dreams growing up?
Well, growing up, I studied acting very seriously. I grew up in New York. I studied at the Lee Strasberg Theater Institute. You know, studying the method, which I kind of say a little bit mockingly because it's, you know, a lot of those people are sort of pretentious, and that's just not me. However, I took away some very good tools from there, but I was very, very young, and I got married young at 22, and, you know, kind of went corporate and got a real job, you know, for the next 30 years,
And kind of just always had in the back of my head, sort of, you know, one day, maybe I'll get back to it. And that day, you know, that day came. And right now, it's I've got a lot of work. I'm in a couple of other feature films. I'm producing some television shows. We've got some stuff in development. So it's real busy and real exciting, and all while holding down two other real jobs. But you know, but we do what we have to do, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and you got to keep in mind, because you know, as we get older, I got to tell you, I mean, I thought you were, you know, maybe pretty close to my age. And the thing is that I've been talking with people that are older, like late 50s, 60s and such, and these are like, it's different kind of genre, like grandmasters of martial arts. And believe me, they're very young at heart. And when I hear these people telling me stories, and it's like, you can never call yourself, like, old. Because it seems like when I'm listening to you, you still sound like you've kept, you know, being young in your heart. You can hear it. You can hear that passion in your voice. You can really hear that. That's not acting. So I do know that you still have a lot left to go. I really can
I
can see that.
Yes, my wife and we're married 30 years last week.
Wow, happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. She'll be the first one to tell you that I'm just a big baby.
Why do you think she might call in and harass you?
No, I don't think so. I think we're safe.
Oh, I would have loved to have her call in for a few minutes.
Anyway, just moving along, let me just give a shout-out to a couple of the other projects that I'm involved with. There's a project, there's a film, feature film called Blue Suede, which goes into starts filming in August.
Yes, I know all about that, Junior Hepburn. I'm supposed to be in that film, too.
Oh, are you?
Yeah,
nice.
Because before I even knew who was going to be in the film, what's his name? He's a martial artist. What's his name? I'm going to kick myself. I should know this. Takua. Oh, my gosh. Please just shoot me because I'm having a brain fart right now.
Is his first name Nick?
No. I'm going to go to Blue Suede. I'm opening up the page right now. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's just like I know a couple of people I'm very interested in. Okay, let me bring up the page because I know Cynthia Rothrock, and where is that? She's going to be in it, the Lady Dragon, and I think John Fiore, they worked with him, and I'm trying to think, who is the guy? I know they posted about it, and I almost fell off my seat here. I'm trying to, about 2 weeks ago, who was it that was supposed to be in? Oh, man, it's a Paco guy. I just, like, I'm going to kick myself. He's real. What I'm going to do is I'm going on Junior Hepburn's page because I'm pretty sure he's got a picture of him. And the guy's really popular in the industry. So I'm trying to figure out if I can find out. So I got Junior Hepburn's page up.
Take a look, and let me speak a little bit about my friend, JR. He started out, it was just about a year ago, putting this thing together and holding auditions within the community and with a very modest budget. And he and his production staff have really sort of reinvented the wheel when it comes to getting financing and marketing of an independent feature. This thing has just blown up to the budget has blown up. He's pulling in all these names, some Hollywood names that have come on board that are knocking on his door to get involved in this film, which essentially is the story is of sort of a turf war between the Chinese mafia and the Italian mafia in Boston, and it's a real neat story. And he likes to think of it as something that's going to be in the style of John Woo, I'm very excited to be involved. I have a small part, you know, just a small part that I'll make the most of, but I'm very proud of him because he's a friend, and it's quite inspiring to see how they've come quite a long way over the past year in how this thing is getting done.
Yeah, I've been trying to keep up with it. Scott Adkins, that's who's in it. I was like, when I found out he was in it, I was like, oh my gosh, because I'm an action chick. So it was like,
right.
I was like, oh, you're going to be in it too. I was like, he asked me, and I was going on, I was like, okay, I'll try to get back to Boston. And then it's like, he says, Shelley, look who's on it, and the Lady Dragon. And I'm like, oh. So I was like, oh yeah, like have her kick me in the head. So I might get the crap kicked out of me in the film. Who knows? Who knows if I'm going to be on the same day with you or not, but it'll be funny. But, you know, imagine just saying, yeah, I'm going to go get kicked in the head. Can you say that on a film set? But imagine if we were working on the same day or something like that. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be really cool. I would look forward to meeting you.
Oh,
and that Cynthia, Cynthia, her experience and resume is quite impressive, having worked with going back into the 90s with you know, in the karate movies. You probably know better than I do, Miss Ninja.
Yeah, that's right. It was very surprised. I'm going, I pooped my pants when I found out. I was like, before he even announced, he says, then I'll show you when, I think it was just him, Medina. I think that's who's working on the film. And he's like, Shelly, you want to be part of the film? And I said, well, I hope I can get back to Boston because I live in Maine. And I'm like, yeah. And so I was like, okay, I'd love to be part of it somehow. And it's like, hey, Shelly, look who's going to be in. And he said, the lady, Cynthia Rothrock, and I almost fell over. I was like, oh, my God, you're going to have her kick me in the head. And says, oh, well, just have Scott kick me in the head once and Cynthia kick me in the head another time. I'm like, yeah. And people think I'm all serious. I mean, you know on set, everything is, like, really not real. You know, so it's like, you understand, when I still kick me in the head, it's just part of work. But when I say it to anybody else, they're like, no, don't get her. Just all fun, you know, and it'd be kind of cool. I would love to, like, it would be kind of cool if we were the same day, but who knows, you know, how the schedule goes, you know how it goes.
Right, of course. Of course, we shall see.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, we're working on Wes Williams and Camp 9 Films, District C-11, which starts filming at the end of August. And that is going to be something else also. This is a futuristic, this takes place in a futuristic Boston, town of Boston, in the year 2050-something. And it's sort of a dystopia of a corrupt government sort of being controlled by the crime bosses, and a really nice tight cop drama, you know, one a good cop, bad cop kind of thing, and the good cop really wants to try to, you know, kind of bust up the corruption going on in the city, and I play the corrupt mayor of Boston, which I'm really, really looking forward to because they really, really created a very colorful character for me to portray, and that should be a whole lot of fun.
Man, you got some stuff going on. So, like, what else? What else do you have? Anything else? Like,
I do. I got some stuff. We started production last month of a TV show called Indie Rising, which is sort of like a news interview show. Which right now it's we're producing it out of the Portsmouth, New Hampshire cable access network. Of course, we have high hopes. We want to get a few episodes in the can and then try to present it to, you know, one of the network affiliates. But this is a show that shines a spotlight on people that come out of the indie market in New England and have risen above and have gotten work in mainstream productions. So just to name a few, we had on interviewed Mr. Skip Shea, who is a filmmaker, Rob Fitz, who's a filmmaker and just a extremely wild special effects makeup person. We've had a band out of Boston called Of the Sun, who's just a real funky sort of Indian beats meets Pink Floyd, really way out there, guys with their Indian makeup and dreadlocks. So that's fun. We shoot the second episode in a few weeks, and that's been a whole lot of fun. I've been writing that, been helping out writing and producing that, and they actually stuck me behind a camera for the first time. So that was fun, you know, getting your feet wet in mm-hmm. every sort of aspect that you can. Just kind of neat. And then one of the things I'm kind of most psyched about, Shelley, is we have in development a reality show that is inspired by and about the life of a man by the name of Michael Guglielmo, who's a New Hampshire guy whose life story is just, I mean, it's jaw-dropping. I met with him and a friend, collaborator by the name of John Murphy, who's also a director, assistant director, filmmaker. We met with Michael at the gravesite of his son, Giovanni, who passed away at age 5. So, of course, you know, you meet somebody else that loses a child, you have an immediate bond. You spoke about Ninja and being a fighter and all that. When Giovanni was an infant, Michael was told that he would have about 6 months to live unless he found a bone marrow donor. And Michael said, yes. Okay, I'll go find one. And the doctor told him, no. You're going to need to find 20,000 donors to be able to find a match for your son. And he went out and he did just that, and he found a match for Giovanni, and they were able to keep Giovanni alive for 5 years. He passed away from something sort of separate from his blood disorder.
Wow.
But Michael spearheaded this movement to develop this registry of bone marrow donors that he is now, I think he's up to about 80,000 in this registry.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
So we have this show in development that is going to, I mean, and let's face it, in the world where, you know, the reality shows are mm-hmm. most successful that are consisting of Duck Dynasty and Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah.
Let's face it, I think if we put together the show that actually, you know, shows a donor, a family waiting for a donor match, you know, we show them getting that phone call that we found the match. I think that is just, first of all, great TV. But I think more importantly, it'll be out there and encouraging people to go out and donate, you know, find a bone marrow drive and go and register, you know. And I encourage, I implore anybody that's listening tonight to just, you know, go on Facebook, go on Google, put in bone marrow drive, find a drive and go and get yourself in the registry, because the more people that do that, the more lives that, you know, can be saved. And I think that for me, you know, when I thought about the possibilities of, you know, having an impact and a positive impact, that kind of just blows me away. So that's kind of what I'm most excited about right now.
Oh, wow. It seems like you make connections, I don't know, like in life, you just make these wonderful connections that out of those connections, beautiful things grow even more. Is there... the fellow that you were talking about, is a way you could ever get in contact with him to have him friendly on Facebook? Maybe I can have him on my show sometime.
Oh, absolutely, sure. Yeah, I speak with him every couple of weeks. We really want to get this show sort of pitched and going, because, you know, the sooner we get it done, the sooner we can have an impact and save some lives. And Michael is, he's just, I won't go into any detail right now, but his life story is absolutely incredible. He does TED Talks right now. He's a motivational speaker. Absolutely. I will put him in touch with you, and he would be an awesome guest for you.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much. I mean, if there's ever anything, you know, any other foundations or anything that you come across and you want to connect, I try to, you know, get people on my show. You know, as the audience is growing, I can do that, you know, give back in my own way. So anything else, you know, just give me a holler.
I will do that. That's a beautiful thing. You're a good person.
Oh, well, the thing is about giving back, just connecting, and it seems like with the show growing now, because I know what you say about, you know, with the reality shows, how well, like, you guys are trying to do something different, because all the reality shows are kind of dumb, and you want to show something different. And I think with my radio show, I didn't think it was going to make it this way. I thought I was going to talk all about Jackie Chan and ninjas and stuff. It just took this turn where not only is preserving history with grandmasters and stuff, you know, I'll never be a good, like Bruce Lee or Brandon Lee, but people that have that, you know, that are really well respected, and even Hollywood, and growing that, knowing that I'm able to do that. Like, what is it Stanley says, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. Well,
sure.
Just in throwing the audience stuff that really matters, that I hear about, I can have someone like yourself on my show, and I don't know what good I can do, but bring more awareness to it, you know, in a positive approach. So, you know, I'm just trying. So it's like, I don't have money, but I think my voice, maybe it'll help out to some more of the causes. So I hope something good, maybe people hear and donate to, you know, campaigns and stuff. So anything, you know, anybody that you know, any other campaigns, I'd gladly have them on the show. Or if they don't have time, if they're busy, I believe, you know, everybody's schedule, just have them write something up, send it to me, and I can really even read it on the air. You know, if you ever have something and you're busy and you can't be on the show, write something up, send it to me. I'll read it on my air for you, too.
That's awesome.
So can you tell me, any other things that you want to do? Like, I know you're about acting and stuff. Do you have, I know you said behind the camera. Like, do you have any other dreams or goals that you want to do? Is there any other future projects that you can talk about? Or is it, you know,
yeah,
I know how it goes,
you know,
I can't.
I've got, I actually have a short horror film that is written, and I'm hoping to get that into production over the summer, which I would like to think will be sort of my calling card, you know, to move forward. I do have a couple of features written that I would love to get into production. I was never really a writer. When after Zach passed, and I did a couple of projects, I thought, you know what? You got to make your own work. You got to sort of create your own projects. Mm-hmm. And I started writing. And you guys, you're going to roll your eyes. But when I tell you, when I started writing, I really feel like Zach is sort of channeling through me. Because he was a brilliant writer, and I was not a writer. And I write some things that just like, wow, like I never would have done that. So I really feel connected to Zach virtually. So I want to get some of my own projects into production, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. Do I want to be a great big famous movie star? No, that's not a goal. I think that's not really a good goal. But what I'd like to do is continue to do good work and make good work and make good art and tell good stories and see where that takes me. That's my goal.
Well, you know something, when you said about rolling your eyes and stuff, and it's like, I know that I think people, you know, on the internet and everything like that, on radio shows, people take things the so wrong way, thinking you're trying to push something on people. It's just that it's what you're believing in and what you're feeling, because you had a connection with your son. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, whether it's be scared or something, your son's always going to be part of your life. He's always going to be tattooed, embedded on your heart. So you're going to feel that, you know, you had a wonderful experience with your son. So you're always going to carry that. And whether it's something spiritually or that your son influenced you, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And if anybody ever said anything, I'd want to, like, hand slap them or something like that, because that's what you feel. And there's nothing wrong in feeling, you know, if your son, if you're channeling your son, if that's really a wonderful thing. You're not crazy. I mean, you know, it's just something that you feel. So
yeah, and I don't need to push that on anybody. I don't need anybody to believe me or not believe me. Frankly, you know, I don't care.
You're not crazy at all. You're not. You're perfectly normal.
Although, let me tell you, I do try to reach out to, you know, you're now in this club of parents that have lost a child, and it's a crummy club to be in, and the dues are way too high to pay to get into this club, but there are a lot of people out there. There are Facebook communities where people are looking for support, and where I think I'm doing pretty well, you know, considering I lost my son and best friend. There are people out there that need help and support, so I try to impart some of that stuff onto some people, just to kind of offer comfort, you know. But in the end, there's no comfort. It sucks. It's really I don't know if I could say shitty, but I just did. It's really shitty to lose a child, and you know, I try to reach out to other people and you know, just offer comfort where I can, and not to say, well, you have to believe what I believe, but to share my own experience, and maybe in doing so, you know, that might offer something to somebody. And frankly, Shelly, if I can help just one person feel a little bit better, then, you know, then I've done a good thing.
Yeah. No, there's nothing wrong with that, because, see, I'll never be in someone, like, with your shoes and, you know, with you losing a child. I've never had children. I've always had animals and stuff, and it's like, but if people can't understand, they have no empathy and no compassion to see what you've been through, and you're sitting there talking, and you have every right, you have feelings, you're a human being. And, you know, like I said, I'll never be able to experience what people having children are, because I don't have kids. That's the honest truth. The thing is that I know what, you know, about love with family. So people that do, you know, they say time heals wounds, and it takes a long time, because you have that love, and it's always going to be in your heart. And, you know, I try to be very careful, because I know with the media and stuff, I invite people on here because I'm very, you know, positive. You know, if any of those, you know, that group, I would love to have them on my show. My show's not tabloid or anything like that. I'm very respectful. I never let anybody call in or ask my guests. I disconnect them if there's something, you know, that if some of the parents wanted to call in, if they were comfortable. I know it's kind of weird to ask that, but if it's something to give, when people talk of the experience, and maybe if people listen in to see, you know, how they've moved on. And I think maybe that's something I could do. Maybe it'd help out. But once again, I can't talk of experience because I never had children, but I just want to reach out and maybe, you know, do some connection or something and help people in a way. You know what I mean?
Sure. That's a wonderful thing. And let me speak toward something. Losing a child puts a whole lot of things into perspective in life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that, you know, if somebody now thinks I'm kooky or whatever, who cares? I don't care. I lost my son. Nothing else matters. And to that end, like, as an actor, I can go into an audition or a project and really go out on a limb. And I have no inhibition, because inhibition is a self-imposed negative emotion with negative energy that, you know, is based in some type of fear of what somebody else might think of you. So, mm-hmm. you know, that said, I don't care, you know. I've lived through my worst nightmare, so I'm going to care now what, you know, what a casting director or somebody else, you know, thinks of me. No, I'm not. Doesn't matter. So, you know, I even try to impart on other actors, like if you can get rid of those inhibitions and those fears and that stage fright and those nerves without having to go through the experience that I went through, you know, do it. You know, try to understand that perspective and overcome that, because that's a killer when it comes to acting and good work like that. You know, those negative emotions and those inhibitions and fears. So I try to impart that onto other people.
Yeah, no, that's I think you're really normal. I really do. It's just that, you know, whether it's a man and I talking about emotions, and I think what it is, it's like, you know, you're expressing it's grief, but I think it's like how you handle it and you try to go on, because we all have good days and bad days. It's because when someone passes away, you know, you're still here, but it's kind of like, you know, you miss people. That's a perfectly normal thing. You're always going to feel that, and if people think you're a kook for that or whatever, it's like whatever. And believe me, I know what you're talking about. You don't care about what anybody says. If I really cared what anybody said about me, I wouldn't be doing a radio show.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like you put yourself out there. And Mark, I think what you're doing is with everything you're doing, you're really putting yourself out there to do with acting. You totally get what I'm going to say, because with acting, you're going to be out there in the public. Your life is never going to be normal, because the only way you're going to be normal is to go back to being normal is if you delete all your social media. Do you know what I'm saying? There's no,
right.
Because remember how our lives used to be before social media? The only way you're ever going to be normal is if you delete all your social media accounts. So we're never going to be normal for the rest of our lives, because
that's
we
right.
have these accounts, you know, and
normal's,
people say,
normal's
you know,
boring. Right, Shelley, let's
yeah.
face it. Normal's boring. Who wants to be normal? And really,
yeah.
who really is normal? You know, like, people put on this facade of, you know, being sort of regular and normal, but who the hell knows what goes on behind those closed doors? Frankly, I don't even want to know. But I defy anybody really showing me somebody that's quote unquote normal. That's you know, that's the beauty of the human experience as well. And, you know, I guess something that if we can effectively sort of, you know, demonstrate through film and whatnot, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's kind of funny, because I try to tell people all the time, right? I says, listen, I'm crazy. I'm a spaz. I always write this, but, you know, here I am sitting on my radio, you know, sitting with you talking, or if I'm on a set and they're like, Shelley, you're really kind of nice. And I'm like, don't say that. You're going to ruin my reputation. Just keep thinking I'm crazy. So it's like, people like, you're not really that crazy, because social media, whatever, you know. And then there's people, you know, I can't judge people. And I've kind of lost interest in people that are in my circle, whatever, like, you don't care. But, you know, social media can make people the total opposite, where they're not nice and they can put anything they want. They could look at someone who really is a good person and person that does right from the heart and get ideas from that and put it on their Facebook and make them look like they're the perfect angel. You know, I mean, that's the truth about social media.
That's very, very true. And, it's a double-edged sword. Social media for me is like, you know, coming up in the indie market, and while I'm mentioning it, let me give a shout out to Erica Derrickson, who set up this Hollywood East Actors Group Facebook page, which it is a Facebook page, but it's a unified community crystallized into predominantly a very, very supportive group of passionate artists that really want to see, you know, everybody else succeed And for me, I sort of developed my, you know, a persona, I guess. I mean, it's pretty much who I am. But that, I think that has gone a long way to towards me sort of making a name for myself in the community and, you know, getting work and finding people, you know, to collaborate with, which, you know, which has been great.
Yeah, Ms., you always connect with people all the time. It really is. It's an amazing thing because it's like you work with one person and it seems like you get to know so many other people because you work with that one person. Because then they know
very
a bunch
true.
Of people that, you know, it's really funny because, like, what we were talking about the other night, I had on my show, I think it's a guy you call your brother, is Rick Dumont.
Yes.
I think that's
uh-huh.
what Ricky Dumont. I've had him on my show before, and it was like, you know, there was a picture of him on one of your pictures, your main pictures on your profile. I was like, hey, that's Ricky. I had him on my show. So there's
right.
always some sort of connection where, you know, it may sound spiritual or whatever, but we really are one because we're all
yeah.
connected
no.
one way or the other.
Absolutely. Rick Dumont is a spiritual brother who I love very much, and we are collaborating on many, many things. And the Indie Rising show that I spoke of earlier, that's his baby. That was his, that was his idea. And he started that. He planted the seed. And, you know, that thing now has grown to the point where it's a show. So, you know, a lot of people have ideas. But when, you know, people make it happen, that's, you know, where you need to stand up and pay attention. And Rick has done just that. And I tell him all the time, you know, that I'm proud of him. And he just says, aww, you know, that's nice. No, and Rick and I have a lot of, we have a lot of projects that are kind of in the hopper, so to speak. Together.
Yeah,
but you know, you mentioned the network of friends and whatnot. Zach, when Zach graduated from high school, he had like a gazillion friends, and he used to mock me because I have like two friends from college, you know, and you know, one friend left from high school, you know, and a very, very small circle of friends, and you know, kind of. You know, if you asked me 5 years ago, I'd say, oh, I hate people. I don't want to hang out with anybody or make any new friends. But I have grown such a circle of friends and collaborators that I truly love and very, very grateful that I now know them. And, you know, that circle has grown, you know, into dozens of people. And I'm just... You know, I'm blessed. That's a blessing right there. So you're right. You know, it's so important.
And it's beautiful, too, because it's like it seems like every time you connect a person, it just keeps growing. It's like a domino effect. You know, it's kind of you work with one
yeah,
person,
you
know, and that's,
right.
that's exactly what it is.
You know, and then when we, you know, when I was creeping up toward that, you know, age 50, you know, you think, you know, you're done making friends and, you know,
no.
you have the friends you have and kind of that, you know, that's okay and that's fine. But it's really, that circle has just exploded in the past couple of years and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and believe it or not, you're still young because I'm telling you, I'm like, I'm making friends with people that are like 69, 70 and they're still young. So you're kind of like a baby. They'd call you a baby, you know? So just
yeah,
think of that.
I know.
It's,
yeah.
You really are.
50 is the new 40 or whatever they say, you know? So, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I don't really think about age, you know? I just, whatever. I'm just doing stuff and I'm keeping busy. And, you know, frankly, I saw there was a little clip on the New Jersey Boys movie directed by Clint Eastwood at 86 years old. And this guy, he's hopping from project to project to project. And I'm thinking, geez, if I could be vital and working and doing stuff and, you know, in another 30-some-odd years, wow, man, wouldn't that be cool? What an inspiration
yeah.
he is.
Yeah, I heard he was very nice too, Clint Eastwood, because I guess with Mystic River, when they were filming that over in East Boston on Falcon Street, they used my friend Matt's house. I think it was Sean's penthouse, and Clint Eastwood took out my friend Matt's family out to eat, and it was just I was like, what? It was just, he's a good guy. He's all around good guy. Yeah. And it's like, it makes hopeful because stuff that he had like $1 Million Baby, but, the one that you're talking about, I actually seen a clip, what was it, yesterday for Jersey Boys. And that was like, wasn't it about Frankie Valli, I think?
Exactly.
Yeah, about that. I was like, oh, and I didn't know what that was about because it was a play first, right? Okay.
Yeah, it was a Broadway show based on Frankie Valli and Four Seasons. All, the group came out of the 50s. And it's just good music. It's just good all-time, toe-tapping music. And I, for one, would like to see that film.
And I think it's considered kind of indie. I think it's indie. I don't know if it's really considered, even though it's Clint Eastwood, I think it's more a little bit kind of like independent. Because I think I saw, I think I saw it on her YouTube, but even though it's Clint Eastwood, I think it's kind of almost considered independent.
Well, let's face it, Shelley, there are different sort of levels of independent films. Like that, I wouldn't think, it might be considered an independent film, but I did a film with a kid who found a deserted warehouse, and he had one handheld camera, and he had a script, and he was just a passionate guy. He wanted to make a movie, and I went into that thing and met a couple of really cool people on the shoot, and now that's an independent movie.
Yeah, that's a true hardcore. I think what some of the actors are doing, I don't know if Clint Eastwood put his money into it. I think some actors are doing that. I don't know if it always works for them or not, because I heard John DeVolter, he actually paid to have this film Battlefield Earth done, and he played the lead. He actually, I think, paid for that, but it didn't do that well. So I wonder if it's really considered, if it's, a person in Hollywood, if they're funding it themselves, if it's kind of considered independent. Because I know that they already made a name for themselves, but if they take the money out themselves and fund it themselves, is it called an independent film?
I guess.
I don't know. I mean, it's like, we know what independent films are. But it's like, say, for instance, we make money, right? We're always going to think we're not big-time actors, but if we can fund a whole film, we become successful, can we still call ourselves independent filmmakers?
Right.
That's
a whole other question of how one defines success. That's a whole other can of worms right there.
Yeah.
Right now, for me, you try to do some good work, and it's very satisfying personally. Then that's successful. Clearly, no one is bringing home the huge paychecks in this community right now. But I have faith. I have faith in a lot of these people I'm working with that in 3 years, 5 years, these are some very driven, passionate, talented people, and there are going to be some names that rise to the top. I'm very confident.
Speaking of that, right, I was like, bring up your Facebook page to see what our mutual friends are. A couple of what's coming up first, because I don't know how Facebook does it. They just, randomly put people. But I see a couple of people like Crosby, Tatum, one of my other film brothers who just, the Surprise, Surprise film.
Sure.
I don't know if you've been to, if you ever worked with him or anything, or did you just connect?
I haven't worked with him, no, but we have, you know how that Facebook networking goes.
Yeah.
For me, a year ago for me, if we had 50 mutual friends, then we would connect. Now it's like, we've got to have at least 100 mutual friends for me to network. But no, seriously, Crosby, I haven't worked with, but I know he's very close to some of the other people that I do work with. And in time, I hope to get an opportunity to work with anybody that I can. Why not?
Yeah, If you can, definitely try to get to work with him. He sounds like, you know, from what I've been, you know, watching it grow, you can get to work with him, definitely. Because he's really, really making waves. You got to keep an eye on him. And if you
okay.
can get to audition and work with him, definitely go and, you know, try.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, because we've got about another half hour left, and I was trying to think, is there anything else? Like, are there any thank yous? Like, well, before I get to the thank yous and the shout-outs, when you were growing up, who did you actually look up to? Who were your inspirations in life?
In the film world, I was a huge fan of, I still am, Martin Scorsese, his films, Robert De Niro, of course. You know, I went, when I was studying acting in the city, I went, I saw Raging Bull by myself, and everything De Niro did in that film was really just like acting 101, you know, for me. Just, again, jaw-dropping performance. One of my favorite films. And then, of course, you know, the icons, Al Pacino and Jack Nicholson. I mean, these are people that you see them up on screen, and you're seeing them, but you're seeing them create a character that is truthful and believable and fascinating to watch. And that's what moves me. When I see a film, a compelling story, with good actors, that's kind of who inspired me back, and we're going back, you know, I sound like an old man, now going back 30 some odd years. That's who inspired me.
Oh, it's good to just have those inspirations to share them.
Right.
So what is your, if you don't mind, you don't have to answer this question. What is your, I would assume that your wife, it just seems like that she's very supportive of what you're doing. Does she ever think you're crazy or anything you're doing?
You know, that's a great question. And you know, just prior to that, you asked me if there was anybody I wanted to thank. And of course, she was the first one that came to mind, my beautiful wife, Nikki, who has been extremely supportive, and it's been very, very difficult for her on a couple of different levels. One, she was also started acting when she was young, and it was a dream of hers to pursue acting. And there's a very definitive sense of jealousy, and she really wants to do what I'm doing. However, we are in, and I guess this gets a little bit personal, but we are in very different places when it comes to the grieving of our child. And she, frankly, you know, she couldn't think about doing that, you know, a year ago after we lost our son. She's coming around, and you know, she works a full-time job, and, you know, she can't quite kind of wrap her head around, you know, getting into this film work right now. Is as many times as I hold my hand out and say, please come. And she's come. She's met some people. She's come to class with me. And I think, and that, you know, bear in mind, you know, we've been going through some other funky stuff, you know, with our housing situation and whatnot. So it's, you know, the practicality of it hasn't really been appropriate. But I'm hoping with this fund that has been just a blessing, that we will be able to put ourselves in a home in the next several weeks and gain a sense of stability and normalcy. And, you know, from that point on, you know, maybe at that point she can start thinking about getting her feet wet and doing some work. I mean, that would be great to work with her. But yeah, she's been a tremendous support. and she'll tell you my biggest fan.
Aw. No, I mean, when you're saying about getting to a house, I mean, you've got a place to stay now, right?
Shelly, we have been homeless for about 4.5 months. Now, that said, we've been living out of a hotel. Me and my wife and our 17-year-old son and our border collie, 8-year-old border collie named Sadie, and our big, fat, old, stupid cat with feline AIDS. We've all been living in one hotel room for 4.5 months. Which has been challenging.
Oh, my God.
But you know what? That said, I mean, we're blessed. We've got a roof over our head. We've got
yeah.
food to eat. We've been okay. You know, I would have loved to have put ourselves in a new apartment, but we have nothing to put in it because all of our stuff has been held hostage by this landlord that I spoke of. So we can get it. You know, even if I get into an apartment, you know, we have to start furnishing it. But now, with the help of this fund, we'll be able to do all those things and really just move forward. And you know, the people should know that once we do that, we're sustainable. I work 3 jobs, you know, including inclusive of the acting gigs, which you know don't really pay a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, and Nikki works full time, and our son works you know, we're sustainable. It's just been a question of, you know, getting over this hump, which, you know, 3 weeks ago, when I tell you I held faith and I had faith that yeah, we're gonna get through this. I don't know how, I didn't know how. And then this friend set up this campaign, which again, just a blessing. So you know, I implore people, keep the faith, even if it's blind faith, just keep it and hold on to it and seek comfort from it. And I think that will work for everybody. I'd like to hope so.
Has kept you going? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay.
With everything that's gone, like, what? Was there something inside of you to say, you know, I got to keep going? I mean, what personally for you helped you to keep going with, you know, with your life?
Well, I mean, when Zach passed, he passed in our home, and, you know, we found him one morning. He didn't wake up, and my first reaction was I just want to go with him and be with him, and I don't want to deal with this loss at all, and everything that, you know, was going to, you know, a funeral and grieving and family and dealing with people, you know, sending me condolences. I didn't want any of it. And then, you know, I've got 2 other boys, you know, and a wife and a family that needs me. And, you know, you're just not allowed to check out. It's just not, can't do that. Shortly after Zach passed, again, people, roll your eyes if you will. I don't care. Zach reached over to me and said, Dad, you got a lot of life left to live. Live it. I'm waiting for you. I'm going to be here with your mom, with your grandparents, with everybody else that has passed on. I'm here. I'm fine. Don't worry about me. We will be together one day for eternity, which is a really, really long time compared to, you know, the time I have left here. But he said, you got work to do. Do it. Live your life. I hold that with me very, very close. And with that and with my spirituality that I speak of and frankly, daily meditation, and faith. I mean, that's what keeps me going. And my work, you know, my new friends, my creative outlet, that's what keeps me going.
I think that with what you're saying, I think with art, you know, with music and such, where it's something that is really helpful. I really think anybody that's an artist going through some tough times, I think art is what helps keep us alive, keep our heart beating. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I really think so.
Oh, 1,000%. It's very, very therapeutic. I've been without my grand piano, Mr. Landlord, for 4 months. My baby grand piano, which you know, I used to just like to sit down and just sort of tinkle the keys, and that's very, very therapeutic, you know, for me. I don't need anybody else to collaborate with. I don't need anybody to listen to it. I just, you know, sit down and play piano, and that for me is just great therapy. But, you know, for what I'm doing now, the writing and the creating and telling stories and, you know, getting into character work for films, that too is just, I mean, look, let's face it, it's a positive thing. So anybody out there that, you know, is battling depression or addiction or, you know, alcoholism or anything like that, if you replace some of those negative impulses and negative behaviors with anything positive, then that's a good thing.
It really helps out a lot of people because, this is another good thing to talk about there, because I hear like in some schools that they are starting to take out like music and stuff out some of the schools.
Yeah, it's terrible. That's a terrible
thing. Is that really
thing.
What's it, happening? Because I've heard it, but see, since I don't have kids, I'm kind of out of the loop with stuff like that.
That's clearly going to happen in some schools where they're cutting budgets. That's unfortunately one of the first programs to go is music and art. But that can't happen. That would be a terrible thing. My kids are, you know, they're actually, my youngest will be a senior next year in school, and we're in a very good school system, and they've got a thriving arts and music program, which he's involved with. I think it's imperative to offer kids artistic schooling and outlets, you know, for them as not even extracurricular stuff. I think it should be mandatory curriculum for every child.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that's important, like gym. I think that's important, anything, you know, to keep them. I mean, it's good to have, you know, other classes, but I think this is something that's really important too.
Right. I agree. So, and let me, I mean, I don't know if we're running out of time. I don't know if you were going to be taking poll or anything
about,
like that.
We have about like 15, 20 minutes left, so we still have a little time.
I want to give a shout-out to a good friend of mine by the name of Richard Bailey, who is the founder and teacher at the New England Actors Workshop, which is based out of Charlestown. And this is a very passionate gentleman, cares very, very, very much about his students, in as much as he really, really cares a whole lot about the quality of work that is coming out of this community, which, frankly, everybody should. There are a lot of people out there that, you know, they want to be actors, they want to be actresses, and their priorities sort of lie elsewhere other than working on their craft. And that should really be the starting point. The New England Actors Workshop teaches the Meisner technique of acting, which is a very specific, difficult technique. But I implore anybody out there that wants to be a successful working actor to find training, be it with Rich and his studio, or anybody, you know, try to find a technique and learn how to work your craft, because there's too much work being turned out of this community where, you know, know, you where I kind of watch it and think, well, I mean, if you can see somebody that's acting, you shouldn't be able to see that. I mean, it should be transparent. You should be watching people that are truthful and believable. And I implore all you artists out there, get proper training.
Yeah, and something, you know, I think too is like theater is also a good thing to look into. Because sometimes people can do community theater where, you know, a lot of people fundings, people don't have a lot of money. So I think also a good way is to, you know, do community theater, learn a little bit there. And, of course, we know because we have a foot in the door, even to start as an extra on a film, you can go anywhere. There's so much filming going on everywhere, especially in Boston. There's been an explosion of films and such. And I think just to get your foot on the door, working as an extra, and then it seems like you just seem to find people and you can actually network with them and just take it from there. And I think they can point you in a direction. Have you worked on any of the films they've been filming in Boston?
You know what? That's a very good question, Shelley. There's a lot of, you know, there's a handful of very high profile mainstream Hollywood productions that have come into Boston. And for me, it doesn't appeal to me to be an extra, a background extra, you know, in a particular film. For me, well, you know, I started with a student film, and in Boston, there's a ton of colleges and universities and film schools, and these kids going through these programs, I mean, these are the future filmmakers. Let's face it, that's where, you know, that's the breeding ground. I think that's the best place to, you know, to start. First of all, you get to work, you learn your craft. You learn the process of filmmaking, and as importantly, you start making connections and contacts and building up your resume. And then, you know, you kind of build from doing those student films. And, you know, I know I hit a point within the past year where, it's enough of the student films. But they were great experiences for me. I wouldn't trade them in, you know, for anything. And then you move onward to working on these independent projects with some of these independent film companies. And you know, it's like a ladder. You work the ladder. You start in single A ball, and you work your way to double A ball, and then you're playing triple A baseball. And you know, hopefully one day you get that call up to the majors. You know, if you work hard. And you know, you'll get noticed. So, you know, that's I think what a lot of us are hoping to do.
Yeah, and I think on the two, it's like some people have different things what they want to do with their craft, but I think sometimes, like, this isn't a bad thought. It's not maybe, you know, not necessarily becoming rich. I know we all dream about money and such, but imagine getting paid for that. Your job is your craft, right? You know, you actually. It's almost better than I got to go sit at a desk job and wear a headset and be yelled at by customers all day. I think anybody,
right.
You know, in their right mind, you know what I'm saying? You want to, things that you enjoy, and if you get paid for it, what's wrong with that? You know, it's kind of a nice feeling. It's kind of like what's in a theater. When I was doing that back in Boston, I was getting paid $25 an hour for doing a show.
Great.
You know, and I was
right.
Like, and it was great. It was like, okay, I went and they said, okay, you're part of the show. I had no training in acting, really. And I just did it and felt natural. And it's like, hey, it's not just the money, but the acting in the audience, it's a live show. You get a different audience all the time. You have to be careful. You know, it's like people drink during the show. So you got to stay in character. And it's like if you have to go to the bathroom, you got to stay in character. So it's having that experience with people. And I think the thing with acting, stage, or filming, what we do as an artist is we can actually probably help people forget about their problems, you know, what they're dealing with for a couple hours. You know, help them, you know, be able to breathe. And I think that's a very positive thing. It's like we do something we love, we give back. It's like it's a wonderful domino effect. You know what I'm saying? It's like I don't really want to call it karma, but, you know, you're giving of yourself. You're putting yourself out there. If we're going to look like an idiot, you know, I play the idiot role. I don't care. But it's like, you know, you're making someone laugh and you have them forget about their problems. I think that's a wonderful thing. And if you get paid for it, hey, more power to you, you know.
that's a great thing. And that's, you know, that's a – I hesitate to use a realistic, but that's a sensible goal, is to want to have the ability to make a living doing what you love, you know. And if you can earn money and, you know, do some commercials and, you know, maybe even have to wait some tables or whatever, just to be able to do what you know, you're passionate about doing. That's a wonderful thing. For me, you know, at the ripe young age of 52, and having a family to support, yeah, I mean, you know, you've got to be pragmatic and realistic and earn a living, and then really try to balance out all the other creative stuff with that. But yeah, I mean, if I can see myself in 10 years, you know, maybe earning a living, that would be, you know, doing what I love, that would be an awesome thing, you know. And again,
yeah.
I'm not saying, oh, well, I want to be a movie star, you know, that's not a goal.
I get what you're saying. It's like, if you can take a little bit of your craft and, you know, it's great to be able to do it, it's a blessing, but if you ever made a little bit of money off it, it'd be an extra, it's like the icing on the cake. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's kind of nice to think that way. It's like, you can't really think you're going to be a superstar getting into acting, because millions of people want to do it, and it's like winning the lottery. You know, those people that, you know, are... You know, it's like not putting anyone's dream down, but it's like you always try to give it your all. You give it your best, because it's better to think back and look on life that will say, hey, I gave it my best shot. You know what I'm saying? Look back and say, hey, I tried it. Instead of say, hey, I tried it, and if it didn't work out, hey, at least I tried it. And instead of sitting like, well, I didn't try it, and I'll never know.
Right, exactly right. You know, and I carried that with me for. You know, pushing 50 years of my life, you know, having wanted to have done that, and sort of, you know, walking away from it, you know, it's not an easy thing to carry with you, you know. And I always wanted to encourage my kids to first follow their passion, you know, and go to school for your passion. You know, and then you'll find work, you know, and that's when I would encourage any kid, and I would encourage any parent to give that license and, you know, to their children, to let them go study music, let them go study film, let them write, you know, teach them to be realistic about it. And yeah, you may have to, whatever, wait tables or, you know, drive a cab or whatever you may need to do for X number of years prior to you being able to sustain a lifestyle doing what you love, but don't inhibit them from following their dreams.
Yeah. I mean, if people, you know, if you're paying your bills and stuff like that and you get free time and you want to do something that you love, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, you're doing the best you can, and, you know, that's a little... Hey, some people, they like to go out and have a drink, you know, whatever. Hey, if people are enjoying, you know, acting, hey, let them do it. Or anything, if it's music or dancing, whatever. Hey, everybody's going to have something in their life. You know, it's better than being like thinking that, oh, yeah, my life is over. Or I'm like, you know, negative Nelly, and my foot is one foot in the grave. You know, after we get a certain age, we just start, like, talking more, like, the way society programs us by the time we get a certain age, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I think, you know, we're all trying to prove that wrong, that theory wrong, you know. And you hear about, you know, like that thing about, as I want to get older, I want to sit on the rocking chair and just grow that way. And it's like, nah, I'm hoping to be jumping out of airplanes and stuff when by the time I'm like 70, 80 and still do it.
Right. And I hate to sound so sort of, you know, cliche, but I'm going to quote a fortune cookie. that I read this week, and I'm not going to remember it verbatim, but it was something to the effect like the only true meaning of success is living your life, you know, on your terms. And I think that's so true. I think that is so true. You can't live by other people's expectations or other people's, you know, what other people feel, you know, your life should map out like. You know, you can't live like that. You gotta find your own way. You really do, and to truly be happy. So
yeah. You're right. You're 100% right. And it's like, I hope you keep that, keep that fortune cookie, because it's kind of like, you know, it's true, because a lot of people, one of the grandmasters that I had on my show, and he was mentioning that some people, you know, they're stuck in kind of like jail. I mean, it's like they've always
right.
wanted to do something, but they'll live out their lives where they'll never be able to do it. You know, it's like, well, I should have, you know, it's because people are set in their ways and they don't want to do something, and it's like, we got so much. There's so much ahead of us, you know, and it's possible. We can't do certain things at the present time, but in the future,
right.
you know, you never know. You never know which way it's going to go. And it's like you may have a bad today, but tomorrow you can wake up. Who knows? You could win the lottery, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, that's one thing that, you know, losing a child will teach you is that you don't know what tomorrow brings.
Yeah.
You know, live life for today and live it, you know, live it for today. Man, because you don't
yeah.
know what tomorrow is going to bring. And, I have to tell you, I am, and we haven't discussed it at all, and I'm really, I know nothing about it, but I am totally fascinated by your ninja work and that, you know, the ethic and that whole philosophy. I have to confess, I'm totally ignorant about it and your involvement with it. But that, I guess that would be another show. That's going to
yeah,
be you coming
yeah.
on. That's going to be you coming on my show. So you know, maybe over the next couple of months, maybe we'll get you on Indie Rising, and we'll learn about Shelly Nunchuck and her karma and all that stuff.
I hope you're ready for it. I mean, thank you so much for inviting me. You know, it's a great honor to, you know, have you on my show. I'd love to have you again. Is there any other, you know, it's like, cause I know it's getting late. You must be tired. You know, I've got things to do probably tomorrow. I mean, is there anything, buddy, you want to give a shout out to before I let you go? Or?
Well, I don't want to, you know, I hope I didn't offend anybody by not giving a shout out to them.
Oh.
But you're right, I am tired. I actually, I left for, you know, one of my real jobs is driving for, and I'll give a shout out to the Boston Chauffeur Company. I do drive luxury executive sedans for them. I've been doing that for about a month. And I headed out of my, I headed out for work at 2 a.m. this morning. So we're going on many, 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 many hours, and you know, a nice whatever energy drink has kept me going. But
yeah, you're gonna crash.
Yeah,
when
I'm
you
a little
get
buzzing.
Home. Well, I mean, not in a bad
little
way.
Buzzing.
You crash when you go to bed.
but I mentioned a couple of people. There are several more that I can mention, but you know, we'll save that for another show. But all you guys, you know who you are. When I say I love all you guys, and you know, if you're listening, then they definitely know who they are, and it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you so much for being on the show. I look forward to being on your show, having your show. And, you know, anything else, you want me to give a shout-out anytime, just get a hold of me and you know how to do that, okay?
I appreciate that, Shelly. You know, is this show going to be, people are going to be able to listen to it after the fact?
Yes, I put a link on your wall, the link that I put in your Facebook wall, and it'll be archived, and anybody can listen to it anytime.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, thank you for having me. It's been an honor and a pleasure talking to you.
Well, same here, and you have a blessed night, okay?
Thanks, Shelly. Be well, and we'll hopefully we'll see you on the set of Blue Suede, and you won't kick my ass.
No, and it's just, I'm the one that's probably going to get kicked to the head, and that's it.
There you go. All right, have a great night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot believe the time goes by so fast on the show. Before you know it, the time is over with. And once again, I do apologize for some reason. I don't know why the computer froze. So I'm going to play a little bit music, a couple of songs to before I go here. First song I'm going to play is Back For You All, it's Sacrifice, and I'll be back with another song. Here we go.
Yo, I'm back. You knew I couldn't stay away. It's in my blood. This is what I'm good at, this is what I'm meant to do. Check it. Back in the lab again, back on the road. Crack spit on tracks when I rap, shit is so. Oh, they gonna love it, but they bugging when I speak. So run and tell your cousins, get your budgets when I leak. Back to the pen, pen, paper to the pad. Tracks so authentic, if the haters getting mad. Back to the music like a user needed bad. Never could kick the habit, I'm an addict for the lab. Words turn to verbs, verbs burst through the mics. Mics like when I write, cause I like when I write. Back to the rhythm, living, can I get a rhyme? Plus a line, it'll kill them every time I spit, I shine. Back to the booth, goosebumps, give me chills. I'm the truth from the loops, oops, scoops with the skills. Soundproof on the wall gives me the peace of mind. Like it's me and my rhymes, ain't nothing but some time. This is my life, and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. Back in the studio, back on the grind. I'm living every minute trying to nurse another line. Does this rhyme with that? No, it doesn't give a scratch. Add this instead of that, now you got another track. Back in the backstage, waiting to perform. Working on the words, words waiting to be born. Warning from the storm of fans, waiting for your turn. Freeing in my head, that's the cry for the storm. Back in the battle, raps, tracks like my scars. And my raps like the battle axe, rap for the stars. Every word is ammunition, and I'm spitting, hitting hard. Written, kicking, vicious system, sticking. Rippers pick apart. Sacrifice is my ambition and my reason on this earth. Grab a mic, it's my religion, and the beat is my church. Verses are my sermons and my service is a prayer. And my prayers are getting answered every day that I'm here. This is my life, and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One goof, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. Back for the fans, fam, damn, I never leave. Back for the late nights, right until I sleep. Back for the line that I never got to write, because I didn't have a pen when it came into my sight. Back for the pen, back for the pad, and I'm back for every opportunity I never had. Back for the gift that I will never waste, or mistakes that I take to the grave when I break. Back for the squad, back for the fam. Back for cardiac, tragic in the camp. Back for Stitch Magic, rhythm in the fam. And every fan that believed in me, I never gave a chance. Back for the love, for the craft that I hold. For the fire that's within and the ice that is cold. Back for my boys, and I'm back for their life. And I'm back for a promise that I made to my wife. This is my life, and I'm doing what I please. I'ma write these lines, I'ma spit these freeze. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all. This is hip-hop, it's the essence of my soul. The reason that I'm here, the reason that I go. One mic, one pen, headphones and all. One booth, one truth, and I'm back for y'all.
All right, we're just back for another minute, and I'm closing the show out with Unbreakable with Cardiac and Laura Lee. And just want to thank all the listeners, the supporters, and the guests on my show. Because of you, my show's grown, and I'm very, very thankful, because without all you out there, I would have no show. So I just want to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, and I'm looking to get more guests on my show, and I've got a lineup, and it's going to be awesome, awesome, awesome show. And don't forget, Dragon Fest, Sunday, I'm pushing Ninja Show. Since it's the, I cannot make it out to California, I'll be pushing the show, I believe, to here, 4 p.m. Standard Eastern Time, because Grandmaster Eric Lee is going to be live on the air with me. He'll be out in California at this event. So very, very psyched about this Ninja Sunday coming up. And anyway, everyone, have a good night, and going out with Unbreakable.
I'm unbreakable, can't break what's broken. Gonna shoot the sunroof's open. Let it shine on me. Let it rain on down. I'm on my way. You hear that sound?
Ain't feeling me. No. to get out of my home. All I hear is blah blah. All these people talking. Wanna see me fall. Wanna see me nodding. No more magazine pages. No more headline stages. You must got it all twisted. I'm just happy to be here. Success is to hold me. Your beautiful mama. You're everything I need.